Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Welcome to Sunday Night Live from Goldsboro, North Carolina. I'm Harold Sr. This is my beautiful bride of 73 years come October 18th. She's going to be teaching tonight, and you're in for a blessing. So let's drag up a chair and sit through it.
We are excited to be here tonight, and I wanted to tell you to start with, I had my title for my lesson, and Diane was helping me fix the printouts, and she turned to me and said, "What's your title?" I already had it, I knew it, but I found myself saying nothing. And the Holy Spirit spoke through me, through Jesus, from God, and spoke through me. So our title tonight is You Are One of a Kind. You are one of a kind. And our lesson will be such that we will know that we are one of a kind. I think if people knew more about this, this morning I taught in Sunday school, and I tried to get across, or didn't try, I got across to the young people that they are one of a kind. Nobody else is like us. There's something even with triplets or twins, identical, there's something in their body that is different. So turn in your Bible to Ephesians 2, and we're going in the King James, and we're going to start there. And we are excited about being here, and you across the world tonight. Think about this as you listen to this broadcast, that you are one of a kind. God created you. He made you. You are His workmanship, and you are special to Him and to us. So just enjoy the teaching, and thank you for tuning in to the broadcast. In Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, King James, it says, "For by grace ye are saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God." So we see in the beginning, "For by grace," that's how we are saved. For by grace we are saved. And we're going to see why we are saved. "Not of works, lest any man should boast." It's not works we're looking at tonight. It is works in God. But we're looking at other things tonight to show us why God gave us grace to be saved. So in verse 10 it says, "For we are His workmanship. We are one of a kind because we are God's workmanship. We are His handiwork, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." That's why we were created. That's why God gave us grace to be saved. We were created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we are to walk in these good works that God has created us for. And in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, in the Amplified Bible, I like this. It says, "For it is by grace God's remarkable compassion and favor drawing you in Christ that you have been saved actually delivered from judgment and given eternal life through faith. What an awesome scripture this is that tells us that God's remarkable compassion, love, favor, drawing you in Christ, that you have been saved, actually delivered from judgment and given eternal life through faith. And this salvation is not of ourselves, not through our own efforts, but it is undeserved, gracious gift of God. So the greatest gift that we could have tonight is the eternal life, the grace of God to be saved to good works. And this is a good thing. This makes us happy when we have good works. And so it is undeserved. It is gracious gift of God. Not as a result of your or my works, not of our attempts to keep the law, so that no one will be able to boast or take credit in any way for his salvation. So he has delivered us from judgment. He has given us undeserving, gracious gift of God that we can go to good works and live a life of good works and be happy and glorify other people. And then for we are his workmanship, the Amplified says, his own masterwork. You think about God, we are his masterwork, a work of art. You know, you see pictures of art and they bring out the good. But we here in the Amplified Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, his own masterpiece, a work of art created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good works which God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which he set so that we would walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us. So he has prearranged our good works so that we can work in, we can live in them, and we can live a good life and glorify God as we live a good life. So keep in mind that you are one of a kind, and God knew that, and he made this arrangement so that we can walk in the good life that he has given us. And in 2 Corinthians 10, 12 through 14, in the King James, it says, for we dare not. That is three words that caught my attention. And I have to tell you that I thought that would be the topic for our lesson tonight. But the Holy Spirit and God Almighty through Jesus changed that topic. For we dare not make ourselves of number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. So, you know, we need to realize that we may see somebody else and they might be doing what we think would be is better. But we don't know what God knows. And so we don't need to compare. And I have to tell you, when our son was probably, 8 or 10 years old, I was in the Word, but I was not no ways where I am tonight. And I'm not where I'm going to be tonight. But he came up to my friends then, because I was not really deep in the Word. But my friends, we talked about our children. And I wanted mine to be as good as theirs. I compared him with theirs. And one day he came to me sweetly. He's always been respectful and sweet to us and other people. But he came to me and he said, "Mom, don't compare me with anybody else." And that taught me a lesson. I thought, dear God, I didn't know what I was doing. And I think sometimes we compare, as it said here, "For we dare not make ourselves number or size or compare ourselves with some that measure themselves, commend themselves, excuse me, but they measure themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves." And three words: are not wise. The Bible says we are not wise when we compare ourselves with someone else. We don't know their heart. We don't know the grace, as we've already read, "For by grace we'll say," we don't know what grace God has given them. God does not count number or signs. He does not compare. And we're going to see this tonight. And then in verse 13 it says, "But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us." Not to somebody else, but to us. He measures somebody else, but to us. So it says, "But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure." We don't compare. We're not stretching ourselves where we should. As though we stretch not unto you. "For we'll come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ." So we're talking here about comparing. Don't go beyond your measure, because we don't know what God gave someone else. And we're going to see that later in the teaching. In 2 Corinthians 10, 12 through 14, in the NIV, it says, "We dare not to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves. They are not wise." So we see over and over how we are told not to compare or measure ourselves with anybody else. And so we see also, "We, however, will not boast beyond human limits, but will confined our boasting to the sphere of service God Himself has assigned to us, a sphere that also includes you. So we have teaching tonight that shows us how to live that good life and what we are to do. We are not going too far in our boasting, as would be the case if we had not come to you. That's so true. When you got God in your heart and you're growing every day, boasting goes out the window. We don't boast and we don't compare and we don't measure other people. In fact, judging, it's kind of like judging. In Romans 2, the first three verses, it says, why will you judge someone else when you do the same thing yourself? You are judging yourself when you judge someone else. And I kind of think it's the same way when we compare ourselves with other people and go beyond our measure. For we did not get as far as you with the gospel of Christ. So we're seeing here, we're not going far in our boasting. We're not going too far in our boasting as would be the case if we had not come to you. But we did get as far as with the gospel of Christ. So we're seeing here how to live the good life. In 1 Corinthians 10:11, it says, now these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonishing upon whom the ends of the world are come. That our good life and what the grace God has given us is to be examples to other people, and that they can live that same good life. And the NIV in 1 Corinthians 10:11 says, these things happened to them as an example and were written down as warnings for us. These are warnings for us on whom the reaching the highest points of the ages has come. So you and I today are seeing how to live the good life. And in Romans 12:1-3, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service or your worship. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're showing in the scriptures how to live the good life and how God wants us to know how to live that good life. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think more highly of yourself than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. The measure of faith. So we're not to think too highly of ourselves, but we are to be humble and think as God thinks, soberly, and not be out of the will of God. We need to know how to live the good life. And so in Matthew 25, we have the story of a man. The kingdom of heaven is it's a man that was going to a far country. And so he called his servants, and he gave to them talents. And he gave to one three talents, he gave to one two, and he gave to one one. And the one that he and he told them to put them to usury. And he was a long time coming back, but for him to put what he's given them to usury. And so in Matthew 25, it starts with 18 now. The one who had the one, he dug a hole and buried his talent in the earth. But he that received one went, this is Matthew 25, 18 through 30, King James. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained five other talents. He was obedient to what his master had said do. So he made five other talents. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thy good and faithful. And remember that word, faithful, because we'll come back to it. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have double mine. I have gained two other talents. You see, they doubled their talents. He got two more. And his Lord said to him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And if you notice here, he did not compare those that had five and the one that had two. Now, we know that the one that gave one, two, buried his talent. If he had not, and if he had been obedient to what he had told, he could have doubled his to two. But here, the Lord did not compare them, because he gave, and in the beginning of this, it said that this man gave to these servants what their individual ability could handle. So he did not compare these that had five and one had two, because they were faithful. He said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. Now I'm going to make you rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And the very same thing he said that had the five. So it won't amount here. God does not reward amounts, but he rewards faithfulness. He rewards good and faithful service. God doesn't reward someone that works so hard and feel like they're working for the Lord, and they're going beyond their measure, and they're kind of doing in their own strength in themselves, as we've seen, then that, I guess, is called diligence. But God does not reward that. God does not reward numbers and sizes. Here we see he rewards faithfulness. Faithfulness. And in verse 24 it says, then he which received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strowed. And I was afraid. That is what kept him back. If we ever let fear and being afraid get into a situation, we have opened the door for demons or devils to come into our life. And the Bible teaches that. But he said, I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, listen to this answer that he said, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming, I would have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, given unto the one that had 10. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not, shall it be taken away that which he hath. So this servant let Satan steal his mind of what God, what the man had told him. And if he had been obedient, he would have received the same thing that the five and the others had. But he was afraid and did not receive it. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So this is what happened to the one that didn't do anything with his talents. I want to ask you tonight, has God given you a talent? Has he given you more than one talent? Have you compared those talents with someone else you know, and you feel like that they've been given more talents than you did? And it has caused you to compare what somebody else has. Well, I want to tell you, we have an example here of this. And also we have one in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. We have the story of Jesus as he is at the seven churches. And I want you to notice, we didn't have time to teach all that tonight. But you can read Revelation 2 and 3. And Jesus said to those churches in the beginning there, he said, I know your works, the first church. The second church, he said, I know your works. The third church, he said, I know your works. The fourth church, he said, I know your works. The fifth church, he said, I know your works. The sixth church, he said, I know your works. and the seventh. He said the same thing. I know your word, but he never one time compared them. He did not compare those churches. And I think our church just today, I know of this. They compare their size with another church. This is not Bible to me in this teaching that I have been able to find. It does not. Jesus did not compare those churches. But what was he after? He was looking at their works. And if you read Revelation 2 and 3, the first part of Revelation, you will see that what he said to those churches, when he saw their works, what will he say to us when he sees our works? Because he was after the works. He said, I know your works. And so I think this is a message for our churches today to realize that God is doing the same thing. He knows the works that we do. And he is not looking at accounts. He's not looking at size. He's not looking at numbers. But he is looking at faith. He's looking at works that bring forth faith and living a good life. And in 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2, in the Living Bible, it says, so Apollos and I should be looked upon as Christ's servants who distribute God's blessings by explaining God's secrets. I love that. I really love that. So Apollos and I should be looked upon as Christ's servants who distribute God's blessings, not our blessings. Yes, ours when God gives them to us, but not our man-made blessings by explaining God's secrets. And I'll tell you, the longer we live, the more I see the secrets that God has that he wants us to see, that he can really show us how to really live a good life. It says, now the most important thing about a servant is that he does just what his master tells him to do. That's exciting me because when God gives you a message, we are to do exactly what he said. We are not to think, let our brain and our mind say, this would be better, or I can't do that, or others do better with the same thing. That is not what this verse says. For the most important thing about a servant is that he does exactly what God says. He don't take away from it. He don't add to it. But he does exactly what God says. I love that saying because I have seen that in my own life. So I know what I'm talking about. And in 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through 2, the Amplified Bible of service of Christ, it says, so then, this is so good, so then let us who minister be regarded as servants of Christ and stewards, trustees, administrators of the mysteries of God that he chooses to reveal to. He reveals mysteries to us, and he will show us how what those mysteries are that we can add to our ministry and help other people see how to walk the good life. In this case, moreover, it is required as essential and demanded of stewards that one be found faithful and trustworthy. God is looking at people that are faithful and trustworthy, that he can share his mysteries to, and they can share to people who don't know how to give a good life. So we have seen that God is looking at our works, but he's also looking at our heart. And see, when we compare and go out of our own measure that God has given us, we don't know their hearts. We can't judge another person. And besides that, the Bible says, don't be a busybody. Tend to your own business. Sometimes people are so busy, they don't know how to tend to their own business. And it causes trouble for God. So, because they are not doing what they should do, we are not to be a busybody. And those seven things, I know your works. And today, he's saying the same thing to you. And I think that God is saying to you and I today across the world and here, I know your heart. I know your heart. I know your works, but I know your heart. Nobody else knows the heart of another person better than God. And so if we're going to live a good life and see great mysteries come to pass in our lives and in other people's lives, we got to do exactly what God says. Don't take away from it. Don't add to it. But do exactly what God says. I am excited over these verses because they showed me how to live a good life. And I thank God for them. I thank God for everyone here and those across the world tonight. And I thank you that you tune in on the broadcast. And I pray God's blessings be upon you and you'll be able to live a good life with the grace and the measure that God has given you. And I thank you in Jesus' name for tonight.
Well, thank you for tuning in tonight. If you've been blessed by the teaching, take a mouse, go to the top where it says sow seed, and sow seed, whatever God tells you to sow, that's all we ever ask. One other thing, this is my bride of 73 years. Come October 18th, we've been blessed and thank God.
Yes, we have. We've been blessed to be here tonight. And I want to thank you. I told our son, I said, God sent you somewhere else to teach tonight so I could share what God's given me. So we are living, you know, we are to live on earth as in heaven. I mean, we're to bring heaven down to earth. And so when we live a good life and get teachings like this, and there's so many in the world, then people will see us and they will glorify God. Thank you. God bless you. And we love you.
Yes.